Lord, we thank you that you call us together on the first day of the week to meet with you. It's kind of like every day we need to come together with you right at the beginning. Because once we get started in our day, it's too busy. And we either forget you or we hurry you up. So, Lord, help us to prioritize and put you first. Thank you that you example that by calling us together on the first day of every week. Lord, we ask today that you would open our eyes, our hearts. We want our spirits to be in oneness with you so that we could live you. We love it when we get to experience your life. We want to experience your life more. We want to learn to live with you. For you to be in all of our thoughts. Open our understanding. Change us today. Help us to realize faith without works is dead. And that we need to put into action the things that you're showing us. Help us to live Jesus this week. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to live Jesus? No, I'm asking. Do you want to live Jesus? Are you happy with where you're at? Or do you want more?
More, Lord.
Okay. Have you ever made this decision? Jesus, the word says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus, you gave your life for me. I want to do something for you. And he says, all I want is you. And you're like, no. I mean, I want to give you something good. Or do something good for you. And he says, all I want is you. Have you ever meditated on that? And have you ever made an eternal decision? God, I'm going to give you my life. You laid your life down. Get this. I'm asking you. You said you want more of Jesus. I'm just asking you. Because I think many Christians, North American Christians, live in a deception of because they live in an ideal and they let words come out of their mouth. I think they live there. Have you ever made this decision? Ready? Jesus, you laid down your life so I could live. Your life was cut short, Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay down my life so you could live. My life is no longer about me. I'm not in charge. It's not what I want. And it's not what I think. Have you ever done that? Would you like to do that right now? Anybody? Is that what you want? For the one that raised their hand, we will pray this. Jesus, you are so incredible. You, God, the only perfect one, laid your life down, gave up your life. It wasn't about you. It wasn't about your comfort. It wasn't about what you wanted. It wasn't about what you thought, your version of how to live a life. You laid your life down so I could live. You laid your life down so I could live. Your life was cut short in the prime of life. Your life was cut short. I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. So Jesus, today, you said all you want is me. Then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you me as best I know how. This is not my life anymore. I'm giving you my life so that you can come live your life through this body. Your life, your body was snuffed out on my account. So I'm going to give you my body so you can come live the rest of your life. Live your life out as if you hadn't had to die. I'm going to give you this body so you could come live through me any way you want. Teach me how. Help me to cooperate. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God, part of that is right now, I want to break agreement with the spirits that are predominant in America. I want to break agreement with a spirit of pride. I want to break agreement with a spirit of rebellion and think it's okay to do what I want, the way I want. I want to break agreement with a spirit of lust, giving my flesh what it wants. Right now, I'm breaking agreement with a spirit of lust. A strong desire, especially for what's forbidden. Right now, I want to break agreement with a spirit of control. So that means I want to be in submission to authority as you set it up. It's not about me being in control. I want to take my right position according to you, Jesus. I'm breaking agreement with selfishness and self-focus. It is not about me. It is not about me. I break agreement with the Spirit. This is my eternal choice. And I break agreement with a spirit of independence. And I want to become dependent on you, God. As hard as that is on my flesh, I want to become dependent on you. And no longer independent and think I could do what I want. All of these spirits overlap and they're all of the enemy. And they're what's taken mankind down all this time. I want to break agreement with them because I only want Jesus living in me. I only want Jesus living in me. I only want the Holy Spirit of Jesus to reign, to rule in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. You remember what we talked about last week? About the church? So we need to have a concept. We need to have God's concept of how to live this life. When I was growing up, I looked around at everybody and I kept looking at people and I kept thinking, everybody is doing their own thing, trying to be happy, and nobody seems to be fulfilling it. I looked at my own parents and I saw that they didn't get along. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know my dad till I was, I think, 8 or 9 years old or something. And then he showed up one day and married my mom again. And they fought like cats and dogs. They argued. And I thought, and I looked at other people's marriages. And I thought, wow, something's wrong here. That's what I saw. When we're growing up, and we're a kid and we're going to learn how to read, the first thing we have to learn is the alphabet. And I like it when my little grandkids come to me and say, "Hey, Papa, I know my ABCs." Well, do you know ABC? That's how most of us live. Anything but Christ. Anything but Christ. Our version. Our way. In Ephesians, we're talking about the church. What's God's idea of church? What is God's idea of church? Can you imagine this morning for church? I'm going to ask this question. Can you imagine what would church look like? What if you never had seen a church or heard of a church? And then you're going on in your life, whatever that is, and then you hear somebody talking and it arrests you because it's the Holy Spirit of God getting a hold of you and working inside of you. And you contemplate, you meditate, you think on these things that the person is saying because they're doing something down inside of you, and you repent and get saved. You get born into God's family. Now, you've never seen church. You, or what you have, didn't mean anything to you because there was no life in it. And then all of a sudden you meet Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, not Old Testament, just choosing to adopt a moral code or a bunch of rules, but God Himself comes to live inside of you, and you've never seen or understood, had any concept of what a church, a Christian, New Testament church is supposed to look like. Imagine you're on an island and you're a native. Be who you are, I don't care. And you're on an island and you never heard of church. You never seen a church. And somebody comes and speaks to you, and it is so alive and so powerful. And they talk to you about this one. They talk to you about your own sin. And then they talk to you about this one God who loved you so much that He couldn't stay at home in heaven. But He had to come down here and become one of us so that He could rescue us from where we are. And you heard this message. You sat on the edge of your log and you embraced this Savior. And He came to live inside of you. Now, you've never seen church. You've never heard of church. There is no church. And now you're like, what do we do next? And the people that are talking to you, they go like this. Here's a book. Read it. Well, can't you stay and help us? Nope. I've got another island to go to. Here's a book. Can you give me... Okay, so it's only one book? It's not like a whole library? No, no, no. One book. What do we do next? God just came to live inside of us. Wow! I've never seen this, never heard this. You're just going to tell me this? Drop this bombshell of incredible awesomeness inside of me, and then you're going to just leave? And the guy's like, yeah. Here's the book. It's the only book you need. Amen. He said, the words you heard me say came from this book. Read and do. You want more? Here. What would church look like? Nobody there telling you Nobody there exampling. Nobody telling you what couldn't happen. When we went to start our first church down in Texas, I was the pastor. It was our first church. Nobody was telling me what to do. So we did things different. We saw God explode in that place. Because if people would say, other preachers and stuff, well, we've never seen it like this. I said, well, here, I got it out of the book. Here's what the book says. I just am doing what the book says. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day. We baptize people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every time somebody got saved, we showed them. Did you just gladly receive his word? Yes. And I would point right to him, Acts 2:41. Because God put me in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 47. When we got there, I said, God, I went 9 years to Bible college. I've been in church all this time. But now I'm here to start a church. I don't have a clue how to do it. I'm scared. We're all by ourselves. We're starting a church in a town 1,800 miles from where we know anybody. We drive into this town and there's nobody out because they're all doing siesta. We drive through the town in about 2 minutes because it's only a mile and a half square. And we go right through the town and there's these cows. And Sue says, who are we going to preach to? The cows? There ain't no people. I said, well, either them or the corn, but at least the corn has ears, you know. We did not know one person. We were baptized with people 24 hours a day. We were witnessing probably at least half of that, 12 hours a day. It was just what we did. What does this book have to say? You said you wanted more. Are you willing to lay down what you have, what you think? Are you willing to quit listening to other people and do what the Bible says? I told you, my pastor's wife, a year after I got in church, she walked up to me and handed me her wedding ring. And I said, why are you handing me your wedding ring? I'd been in church for a year. She said, because you spend more time with my husband than I do. She said, you wake him up in the morning with your phone calls. You keep him up at night with your phone calls. You talk to him before church, during church, after church. I thought she was irritated, and I said, I'm really sorry, but I don't know anything. And I keep reading this Bible and I got questions. But so many times when I asked my preacher questions, yes, he taught me a lot of good stuff. But he also had these confines, this box mentality of trying to stuff God in his little box. Oh, well, it doesn't really mean this over here. Oh, we don't do it that way anymore. Where did the Bible say it stopped? But in his mind, that's what he did. So I did as much as I could, and I filled his box. I went to the limits of his box. And then I kept pushing outside of his box, and I kept getting in trouble. When I went to Bible college, I kept pushing outside the box, and I got in trouble because I asked questions all the time. Professor or Dr. So-and-so would be up teaching and they would teach something. And I would say, excuse me, you just said this, but over here the Bible says this, and over here it says this, and over here. I said, how does that fit in with what you said? And sometimes they would say to me, does it say that? And I thought, what are you doing standing up front asking me, does it say that? And others, they'd start waxing, telling me all this stuff. All this, and it's like, but they didn't take me to the Bible. They didn't answer my question. I'm asking you. I'm asking you. When we were reading Ephesians in chapter 5, did you read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33? During these weeks we've been talking about it, did you read it? And God is talking about a marriage, but he says he's really talking about Christ and the church. So he's talking about church and what church is supposed to be like. What did you get out of that, if anything? Just one thing. What did you get out of that, that we're supposed to see, we're supposed to understand, we're supposed to live? What did you get out of that? Because it doesn't do any good for me to stand up here and just tell you stuff if you just keep hearing it. I'm asking you to help you. Yes. And what does that mean? Submit to what? Okay, to God's will. Awesome. And so what does that look like? What does it mean to submit? And how does God, what does God say who to submit to? Who else does he say to submit to? Because authority. Husbands, authority. Okay? And so what does that mean? Is that God's way? Okay. So if we're not doing that, then we're not doing God's way. Is that correct? Right. That's why I was saying, let's break agreement with these spirits. Because these are prevailing spirits in America. And we are subject to them. We are influenced greatly by them. You can't drive down the road without and see billboards or watch commercial or watch any TV show for no reason at all. Some woman that doesn't have enough clothes on, but she's nice to look at, she's put on there about advertising something, and it doesn't have anything to do with this woman. She doesn't have anything to do with auto parts. She doesn't have anything to do with furniture. But let's put that in there. We are all influenced by this. So, what else? I'm glad you brought that up, that submit thing. Look over in Matthew 15, 1 through 9. This is in my notes. This is just going to be free for you. Matthew 15, 1 through 9. The Holy Spirit, one time back in the early 80s, reminded me of this when I was talking to a man that was studying to become a priest. And I asked him, what is it you base your beliefs on? And he said, the Word of God, which puzzled me because the things I heard come out of his mouth didn't sound like the Word of God. And then, so I was shocked when he said the Word of God was his first answer. And then he said, and tradition. And I said, well, what if the two don't agree? And he said, our final authority is the tradition of man. What man says, that's what he said, tradition. Our final authority is tradition. And I said, Lord, what do I say? I'm telling you. You check out the video when you get to heaven. I could see the man right in front of me. I could tell you right. I could take you right to the place. It was over on 15 Mile in Troy, Michigan. I could take you to the place. I mean, I could see it right now, right in front of me, as if it just happened. And I said, God, what do I say to this man? And he said, read Matthew 15, 1 through 9. So I flipped over to Matthew 15. Let's read it. Imagine that I'm talking to this guy. These words right after he just told me that. I said, what is your final authority on truth? And he said, the tradition of man. always follow tradition. I said, really? Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, the Pharisees said to him, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do they go beyond the tradition of man? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. We have a rule, they need to wash their hands before they eat. But Jesus answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They draw near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines. Their teaching is from the commandments of men. Just to finish this little scenario, this priest wannabe in front of me, as soon as I read, I didn't even comment. All I did was read. God said, just read the verses. I read 1 through 9. I kept looking up at him. His face went from this color to this color to this color as I read. When I got to the end, his face was beet red like that, and he stomped his feet. You know, gave me a look, of course. Nice, pleasant, pleasing, ministering look. And he turned around and he darted off. What do you think God wants a church to look like? What do you think God's concept is of church? What if I ask, what do you think God's concept is of your marriage? What if I ask, what is God's concept of how you raise your kids? What if I ask God's concept of what he wants for church? You're on an island. You don't have anybody to give you an example or give you all the rules. All you have is the book of God. Sue was 23 years of age. Sue didn't know God from a chair. But her friend kept witnessing to her and was capturing Sue's attention when she talked. And she kept talking to her about being saved, being born again, being forgiven of her sin, having eternal life, being delivered from eternal death. And one night, Sue got off the phone and called out to God for mercy. Please don't let me get what I deserve. And she trusted in the blood, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for her personally. And she was born again. For 2 weeks, she didn't go to church. But what she did was she got God's book. And she started reading God's book. And she just started doing everything this book told her to do. Without anybody telling her what to do, by reading that book, she decided that what she needed to do was to sell her house and take all the money and give it to the church for distribution to be made wherever it was supposed to be. So she decided to go to church because she was going to do that. That was one of the things she decided she was going to do. See, immediately when she met God, when God came inside of her, you see, God is love. And when God comes inside of you, 1 John says, when God comes inside of you, you can't help but love people. It says if you don't love people, it's because you don't have God inside of you. It's that simple. It's that simple. It says, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, you don't love God whom you've not seen. That's what the Word says. She started loving people that she had hated the day before. She started telling everybody about Jesus. She couldn't quit talking about Jesus. Nobody telling her what to do. She just thought what you're supposed to do is sell everything that you have and give it to the church for distribution to be made. She went to church. She thought, okay, I need to go to church. So I'm going to go to the church that this lady was telling me about Jesus. I'm going to go to that church. So she went there. There's about 500 people. The preacher said, did God do anything good in your life this week? And she thought, well, of course. But she was so shy and so bashful. But she said, I got to do what the Bible says. I got to do what that book says. I'm going to obey it. I want God. I want more of Jesus. I gave him my life. He gave me his life. Now he's looking for us to give him our life. So she didn't want to go forward, but she thought, you're supposed to obey authority. Remember I asked, what does submission look like? She thought, I'm supposed to obey authority. So the preacher said, if God did something good in your life, come up forward. So she got up and went up forward. And when she got up there, she was surprised because there was only about four people, right? She said there's only a few people that were up there, and she looked out and thought, didn't God do anything for those other 500? Whatever it was, 200 at the time, okay? And then she told what God did. And then when she started talking to the other people after church, because when you're in church, you're not supposed to be talking to other people. After church, she started talking to other people about what she thought she was supposed to do. Well, I'm going to sell my house and bring all the money so the church could distribute it as it sees fit. And they said, oh, we don't do it that way anymore. Well, God healed people. Oh, he doesn't do that anymore. Oh, well, people, they spoke in tongues. How do you get, well, they don't do that anymore. And so one by one, they just started telling her all the things that you can't do and all the things you have to do. You have to dress like this. You have to act like that. You have to do, can't do this. You can't do that. I believe the reason God wants us to look at church is because God has a whole different idea of what he wants to do than what we want to do. Something we've been doing with his day ministry, when he brought us to a place where we thought we were going to close the doors on it and just have a going at a biz sale. Then God says, now that I've got your attention, he says, we can start doing things my way. And slowly by slowly, he's bringing us into his way. Because slowly by slowly, we're getting what he wants. But here's the key. Are you ready? Because this last thing I'm going to say. Are you ready? I mean, for right now. It's not like I'm going to quit talking the rest of my life here, you know. So we can go pray here. In order to get what God wants, we have to lay down our way. We have to come to the end of ourselves. We have to take our hands off control. There's some things that's not an option. I'm not going to go down this. I'm not going to even go there. God's real. He's dealing in our hearts. Homework this week. What would church look like if we followed this? Would you like to know part of where the answer is? Book of Acts. If you just look in the first 7 chapters, actually through chapter 8, verse 4, I believe it is. But the first 2 or 3 chapters, 4 chapters, 5 chapters, 6 chapters, through 8, chapter 4. Well, you could read the whole book of Acts. I like Acts 12:5.
Just the first five, though.
No, I like Acts 12:5. I believe it says, but the church made prayer for Peter continually or something. I don't remember exactly. I have it memorized, but for some reason it's not clicking with me. Without ceasing, the church prayed for Peter without ceasing or something like that. Anyway, my point is, what would church look like if we were just following this book? If we weren't trying to look like other people? And by the way, don't go asking other people. Don't go looking at other churches. Look in God's Word. Look in God's Word and ask God, what do you want it to look like? And what would that look like in my life? What would be different? If you just want to know, I want you to really look at chapter 2, verses 36 to 47. And tell me, what do you see in there about church? Acts. What would church look like if we just got it from the Bible? Isn't that what we really want?
Yep.
Are we willing to let go of everything else? Are we willing to quit reading other books and listening to other ministries? And are we willing to follow the Bible? Because once we're doing what that says, He can add these other things on. But if we're not doing this, and we're looking, we're trying to circumvent what God's saying. God's way of doing things. Jesus, we love You. We commit this in Your hand. Jesus, Holy Spirit, You're the teacher. And we need You to teach us. Help us to be teachable. And then help us to apply, not just assent, nod our heads and say, yeah, that's true. But that we would actually apply what You're saying and live Your way. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for these people that want the same thing You're showing me, Lord. I love You. Amen.